that today we are starting our series on the book of Galatians, the book written by Paul. So for the remainder of the year, we'll be looking at Galatians, and this is the first sermon from Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to 10, which I titled, "Do Not Twist the Gospel of Jesus Christ." For us to understand exactly what is happening throughout the book of Galatians, and perhaps to understand why Paul wrote this letter, we need to understand the scenario of what was happening in Galatians. So Paul established a good number of churches in Galatia during his missionary journeys. So from the map you can see where Galatia is located. Today it is located in the southwestern part of Turkey. That's where we find the province of Galatia. So there are a number of churches that Paul established in this province. So now in Galatia, false preachers among the Jews rose up. They are twisting the true gospel of Jesus Christ preached by Paul. Paul preached that people are made right with God only by believing in Jesus Christ. Now false teachers preach that people are made right with God by not only believing in Jesus, but by also observing the laws given by God to the Jews, particularly the law of circumcision. So in other words, these false preachers were saying, for any person to become a follower of Jesus, for any person to be made right with God, that person needed to become a Jewish. How? By being circumcised. Because circumcision was a sign of belonging to God in the Old Testament, given to the Jews. So to support their point, these false preachers maliciously accused Paul of preaching an attractive gospel to the Gentiles by not demanding that anyone who wants to be a believer must be circumcised. Circumcision, this was a physical process, and this is painful. So the false teachers are saying, no, Paul is making the gospel so soft to attract the non-Jewish speaking people by saying you can be made right with God and you don't need to go under circumcision. That was their accusation. So they accuse Paul of being not a true apostle of Jesus. And it was easy for the ordinary person to believe these lies, particularly because Paul was not part of the initial 12 disciples of Jesus. So as a result of these lies, some of the believers in Galatia are turning away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ to follow a twisted version of it. In turning away from the true gospel, they are turning away from God, who graciously called them to himself through the loving kindness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what we read in verse 6 and 7, where Paul said, I am shocked that you are so quickly turning away from the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ, and you are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. That is what is happening because of the false teachings that you need to be circumcised. You need to keep God's laws of the Old Testament for you to be made right with God. Put the next slide. So what we see is that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is twisted. And when the gospel is twisted, what happens to the message of salvation? It is compromised. That is the situation in the churches in the province of Galatia. So when Paul is writing this letter, he has two things in mind. The first thing, he is rebuking believers in Galatia for turning away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ to something that looks like the gospel, but it is not the gospel. And secondly, he is defending himself that he is a true apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul has to address the situation in Galatia because the message of salvation by grace alone through faith in Christ is in danger. Paul could not just sit and watch the false Jewish preachers twisting the true gospel. Because what is at stake is not only his reputation. What is at stake is the message of salvation. So in this sermon, I have two encouragements. The first one, The first encouragement is do not twist the gospel of Jesus Christ. As much as Paul is speaking to the false preachers, the Jewish false preachers, but is also preaching to us. And the second one is preach and hold fast to the pure, uncontaminated gospel of Jesus Christ. So let us focus on the first encouragement. Do not twist the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I have been appointed and commissioned by God to serve him in his kingdom. We are appointed not by any human authority, but by the Father and the Son. This is true for us as it was true for Paul. I don't know how you came to Christ, but the foundation of it is that it is God who called you. It is God who also appointed you and commissioned you to serve God. This is what we read in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. This is good news for each one of us, to know that I was not sent by Morgan. I was not appointed by Lot. I was not commissioned by Romeo, but by the Father and the Son. But what does it mean? It means that we are ambassadors of God. And for that reason, we proclaim no other gospel. We only proclaim the message of the one who sent us. For if I am sent by Lot, I am going to preach the gospel of Lot. If I am sent by OCC, I am going to preach the gospel of OCC. But we were sent by the Father and the Son. We do not twist the gospel to make it nice for people or to make it socially acceptable. And that is already happening throughout the world, where we twist scriptures so that we can have a big gathering. where we twist the scriptures so that at least we can attract certain people. But that's not the message for Paul and also for us. That's not also our character. We preach the one who sent us. We do not seek the approval of people, but we seek the approval of God. We are servants of God. We do not seek to please people, but to please God. Verse 10. Paul is making his statement, his argument. Verse 10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Morgan, that's your choice for you as well. Do you want the approval of God or the approval of men? Or am I trying to please people? Who are we trying to please? God or people? Then he says, if I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. That is the conclusion. Either you please men or you please God. But when you choose to please men, you are no longer a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I may still come to OCC and say, Romeo is a servant of God. But I'm no longer. If I seek the approval of men. What we do is to follow the established pattern that we see in John 20, verse 21. Jesus is sending out the disciples after his resurrection. And he said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. We are the sent ones. In a way, we are apostles, but not in the sense of the 12 disciples and Paul. We are also the sent ones. What matters most is who sent us. That's the most important question. So Jesus appointed us to preach and teach that salvation is found in no one else and nothing else except in him. That is at the core of Paul's message throughout his letters. And this is what is under attack. That you are not only saved by faith in Jesus, but by something as well. So when we proclaim that there is another way of getting saved apart from only believing in Jesus, then we are sending the souls of people to hell because there is no other way. When you see someone who is preaching something else which is not the gospel, what that person is doing is just to send multitudes and multitudes to hell. Because there is only one way in which people go to heaven, in which people are made right with God. This is a serious sin that invites God's condemnation. It doesn't matter who is bringing that false gospel. It demands God's condemnation. Verse 8 and 9. Paul says, but even if we, referring to himself and other believers, or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. This is condemnation. Verse 9. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. When we seek to preach something else, this is what we are inviting to ourselves from God. Condemnation, destruction, a curse from God. Because we are sending people to hell. We are not teaching them the message that brings them to God, that makes them right with God. So brothers and sisters, let us be careful of the twisted gospel. The false teachers were proclaiming the Jesus plus circumcision gospel. Paul teaches us that this is false gospel in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. What does he say? The first part, he says, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. A person is made right. A person is justified before God by putting faith in Jesus, not by obeying the law. The law is good, but it cannot make us right with God. Then he said, and we have believed in Christ Jesus. Paul is a Jewish person. He's saying, us who are the Jews who received the law, we have also put our faith in Jesus so that we might be made right with God. So for Jews, for Gentiles, all they needed was to put their faith in Jesus. And the same applies to all of us. No matter our different backgrounds, but we are made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. Do not steal, it's good. Do not murder, it's good. But that does not save us. It does not make us right before God. And the last part, the final part, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. This is a serious statement. No one, not certain people, no one, Jews, Gentiles, all of us, no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. So family, we are living in a time where people are preaching the gospel, but they are adding something to the gospel. We do not become right with God by faith in Jesus plus keep the law gospel. That's not it. We do not become right with God by faith in Jesus plus good works gospel. No. Faith in Jesus plus tithing gospel. No ways. That's not the true gospel. Faith in Jesus plus faith in ancestors. No. It's only faith in Jesus, in what he has done. Some people will think that it's faith in Jesus plus working hard for the church. No. I may be a pastor, but being a shepherd does not make me right before God. It's good work. It's serving God, but it does not save me. For some denominations, it's faith in Jesus plus our church rules and regulations. We follow what our church says to be saved. For some, it's faith in Jesus plus faith in the bishop, plus faith in the prophet, plus faith in the pastor, then I'm saved. That's not it. The only true gospel emphasizes that we are saved by God's grace in Christ alone. Family, faith in Jesus plus something is false gospel. Faith in Jesus plus something else is false gospel. It's quite difficult for a person just to believe that Lord invited me and say, just come to my house, we are going to have a nice braai. Then I will say, what can I bring? Then he says, no, don't bring anything. Because we are conditioned by the corruption of sin that I need to work for something. So that if someone even says, just come and enjoy, I'm inviting you. Just bring yourself and your tummy. Then you say, no, I need to buy something. That's how we are conditioned by corruption due to sin. Just to say, I just come to Christ. Come as you are. Put your faith in him and you are a child of God. No, it's too simple. That's why we have many religions in the world. It's always do something. The Hindus, they make themselves painful. They cut themselves. They pull cars with their own bodies, with hooks on their skin. They think that in pain, that's how they are saved. Some, they bring something to God or even to the church to say, maybe if I give this $1 million, I'm going to be saved. No. Nothing and no one except faith in Jesus. That brings us to my second and final encouragement. I forgot this point. Faith in Jesus plus nothing is the true gospel. Don't bring anything to Jesus. He said, come as you are. Faith in Jesus plus nothing. So let's go to our second encouragement. Preach and hold fast to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. The true gospel that makes us right before God is centered on God himself and what he did for us graciously in Jesus Christ. That is the true gospel. The gospel is the good news. How can it be good news when you are calling Romeo to do something? It's no longer good. It's work. It is good because it is centered on God himself. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what they are doing for us. That's what we are going to see, those elements. First, from our passage, we see that God called us to himself. He is the one who did the calling, not us. That's wonderful. You did not apply to say the way we apply for a job. God himself is the one who calls us. It's not us who apply and say, God, remember me when you are also remembering others. Verse 6. I am shocked that you are turning so quickly, deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. Right, that part. The one who called you. God is the one who called us. And the idea being expressed by the calling is that God invited us to participate in the blessings of his kingdom. It's not the calling that I do. To say, I'm just calling Regina. That's not the calling. When God called you, he is calling you to participate in himself, to participate in the blessings of his kingdom. That is what salvation is about. It's not that God is just insecure in himself, that he just wants people to believe in him. No. It's more than that. God wants us to come and enjoy him. That's salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, Paul said, all praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Salvation is an invitation to God's blessings. And Paul says, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And some of those examples are, there is no condemnation For us, we have believed in Jesus, right? We have eternal life. When we call upon God, which word do we use? The intimate one, as children. We call him Abba, Father. That's a blessing. Jesus is our King. Yet he is also our brother and friend. These are blessings. God lives in us, Emmanuel. Just imagine that God is in you. This is a blessing. This is the picture of people made right with God by putting their faith in Jesus. Another element that we see of the true gospel is that the Father raised the Son from the dead. In verse 1, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. What does it have to do with us that the Father raised the Son? Death is defeated. King Jesus is alive. And so we are alive too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks to God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not a wonderful blessing? To say that death has been conquered by Christ on our behalf. Just as the Father raised the Son, we don't only wait for the resurrection after our physical death, but spiritually we have been risen and we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. The other element is that Jesus gave his life for our sins. And the purpose was to rescue us from Satan and to set us free from being slaves of the wickedness in this world. I'll read verse 4 and 5. He says, Jesus, who gave himself for our sins. He's giving himself. Right? Him is giving himself, offering himself. For what purpose? To rescue us from the present evil age. And this is according to the will of our God and Father. That is wonderful. Because the foundation of our salvation is not that we are very important in ourselves. For Paul says, according to the will of our God and Father. The foundation of our salvation is the will and plan of God. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Our salvation, just like the way he chose the nation of Israel, he said, do not think that I chose you because you are special or because you are a mighty and big nation. Nothing. You are even the smallest nation. You are even despised. I just chose you according to my own will. That's the same for each one of us. I can't take pride in myself to say, maybe I look better than others, that's why Christ chose me. No. It is just his will in his plan that he chose us. So since our salvation is the will and plan of God, therefore our salvation is for his glory and praise forever and ever. God saved each one of us for his own glory. Not for anyone's glory. Sometimes as a leader of the church, you take pride in knowing that you have got maybe 2,000 people in your church. You take pride to say that, okay, I brought this person in the church. But that's not what it is. It's wrong. It's wrong. God saved you and I for his own glory. Not for our own glory. Sometimes when you see myself pointing at myself, please correct me and say, it's for the glory of God. It's not for OCC. It's not for any church. It's for the glory of God. Our suitable response to God is to worship him forever and ever. There's nothing so far that we are doing in this passage in terms of salvation. It's just God doing. He called us. Jesus died for us. The Father raised Jesus. Where are you? You're just there waiting to be saved. So why today do you want to go and be circumcised to say, I want to be saved? Why do you want to say faith in Jesus plus my tithing, then I can be saved? No. Why do you want to say faith in Jesus plus faith in my prophet? No. What we see in Galatians is God doing, not Paul doing, not anyone doing, it's just God doing. Then the final beautiful thing from this passage about salvation, it is that we have received shalom from God. Verse 3, we have received grace and peace. When Paul says grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not just greeting. What is he doing? He is making a big statement that reminds us of our identity in Christ and the blessing we have received from God. Grace is unmerited favor of God in offering you and I salvation as a free gift, not earned by works. And the peace is our state of being reconciled to God and the inner restfulness that we experience through Christ. Salvation is the work of God on our behalf. That's why we can say, for God so loved. It's not only that we are sinners and he stepped down to rescue us, but it's also him saying, you sit and relax. I am going to do everything on your behalf. You sinned against me, but I'm going to sacrifice myself so that you can be made right with me. In conclusion, family, we are going to experience storms of false gospel in our lives. For the sailors, when they are experiencing storms, they hold fast to the ropes for survival. Please let us hold fast to the pure gospel during storms of false gospel. Let us stay anchored in the true gospel. Let us not twist it. Let us stay committed to the true gospel that we have received, that you and I are made right with God only by believing in Jesus Christ. We are saved by God's grace in Christ alone, through faith in Christ alone. Let us pray. God, we thank you for saving us. While we were sinners, you died for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. Now we are called by your name. We are your children. Father, we pray that may we not add something to what you have already done for us. And even as we invite other people into your kingdom, may we not add anything to salvation by grace in Christ. Help us, Father, that even when storms of false gospel come in our way, help us to stay anchored by holding on to the true gospel. Help us, Father, when people are being lured by false gospel, help us to stay anchored in the true gospel. We put our trust in you, knowing that you will not allow any of your sheep to disappear from your sight. You always bring your sheep back in the flock, for you are the good shepherd. So continue to be the good shepherd of our souls, the good shepherd of Olympia Community Church, the good shepherd of the worldwide kingdom of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.